Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Pastor Matt here, and I'm super excited to be sharing God's word with you. Thanks for clicking in today and being part of our church service online, and super fun to know how far and how wide these services are reaching and how many people are able to enjoy being part of Vintage Faith, even though they may be a long ways away. We're in the middle of a series right now called Relationship Goals, and let me tell you what, relationships are great, aren't they? I've never had a relationship problem in my life. No, I'm just joking. Gosh, relationships are, on one hand, just amazing, and they relationships give our life so much purpose and joy, and both the investment made into our lives in relationships and also the way that we get to invest our lives into other people. The other side of relationships is relationships can be really hard and relationships can be really difficult, and relationships can oftentimes and sometimes bring out the worst in us. And so that's why we're talking about relationships. The last couple of weeks we talked about honoring God in our singleness, and Hillary and Ayla did a terrific job with that. And then last week we talked about marriages, and today I want to talk about friendships. Yes, friendships. Friendships are really, really important. And when we think about it, friendships are important because God made them important. So let me just go back before we go forward. One of the unique things about God is that we believe in a Trinitarian God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three parts of God make God who He really is. These three components. And these three components of who God is, they are mutually submitted to one another. They're interconnected. They're mutually beneficial to one another. And so if you can think about the Trinity like these three relationships that both hold things together and encourage things and play off one another to make this picture of God being these three different but mutually beneficial relationships. I know that's confusing. God, the three in one. I mean, just having a sermon on the Trinity would be enough to give all of us a migraine. But when we think about God, God in and of himself is a relationship. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that we were made not in his image, we were made in their image. He said, let us make man in our image. So this is important. You and I were made in God's image, not just a facet of who God is, but this interconnected version of God, of this Trinitarian God. So deep inside our DNA, our spiritual, our genetic DNA, is this desire and this need for relationships. Because we were made in God's image, God functions best in relationship. No wonder that you and I function best in relationship. So let's play this out a little bit. That sounds great, right? If we were made in God's image and God is a relationship, then relationship should be really easy to us, right? But that is not the fact. Relationships are really hard. And because sin entered the world, what God made as simple and perfect and in unity was then morphed into something less than perfect, and something was distorted. So the way that we navigate relationships now is a distorted version of what God intended to be perfect. So no wonder there's relational conflict, because sin has created conflict, not only between you and I, but also between us and God. So that is how sin has distorted relationships. We perceive God differently than he had intended, and we perceive one another differently as he had intended to. So that is part of the challenge in relationships. Romans chapter 12, let me read a verse to you here. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says this: love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. I love this verse about loving one another in brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. It isn't just about honoring one another. It's that we should be anticipating and thinking ways to outdo one another in honoring each other. So navigating relationships is a challenge in and of itself. But when we add God into the mix, and now we want to honor God in our relationships, boy, that makes it in some ways more complicated. But also, we are inviting the Holy Spirit into our relationships. The comforter, the counselor, the one who gives us power and authority enters into our relationships. So on one hand, it's challenging to honor God in relationships. But on the other hand, we have access to all of his strength and his might, which we need to have relationships that really honor him. Are you with me? Okay, I've said a lot so far, and we're just getting started. I'm super excited. We're going to watch a video in just a second here. I took some time with my buddy Brian Chudd. Brian and I went to school together 20-some years ago, and we've remained great friends ever since then. And I sat down with Brian over a Zoom call to discuss friendship, and I think you'll enjoy a discussion about friendship from two friends. So enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. This is Matt, and I'm super excited to introduce you to one of my best friends, Brian Chudd. Hey, Brian.
Oh, hi, Matt.
Brian, how long have we known each other, roughly?
Oh, well, give or take 20 years. 20 plus. All right. Probably. 22, maybe.
And we don't have to, well, whatever. You answered it close.
You want the months? You want the hours?
Okay. You're not counting the minutes of our friendship?
I am. I got a tally.
Oh, okay. I figured. I know.
That's why I got this Apple Watch.
I just count to 60 over and over again, and I have been doing it for 20 some years.
You can't count to 60. All right.
No, I cannot. Vintage Faith, I just want you to meet Brian, and Brian and I have been friends for a long time, and we're talking about friendship today. And so I wanted to interview a good friend of mine, Brian. I know he'd prefer to be with me recording this in person, right, Brian? Anyways, we are recording on Zoom instead because he is in Kirkland up in Washington, where him and his wife and his boys live. So thanks for making some time for us. It's the morning and you got a busy day of work ahead of you. So my hope is that our time together is the best time of your day. What do you think? Is that going to be the case here?
There's a good chance, judging off of the horrible calendar I have ahead of me today, that this will be the best of it. Yeah,
that's true. That's good. I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to know that you have a really cruddy day and this will be the best of your cruddy day. No, thank you.
It will undoubtedly be the best part of my day.
I know. I'm super excited about it. Brian and I already talked for a couple minutes before we started recording, so to catch up. But let's just jump in. We're talking about friendship. And my first question for you, Brian, and we'll bat this around a little bit, is what does the word friendship mean to you?
When I first think of friendship, I think of anyone in my life that I can rely on regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of what's going on in my life, it's somebody that I know has my back. It's somebody that I know I can go to be both challenged and encouraged. And yeah, I feel like you and I were kindred spirits pretty quickly. We had a phone call very quickly in our relationship. We found out we were going to be college roommates, and you rang me up and initiated this conversation that we've just found right off the bat. We had a bunch of common interests and a lot of similarities to our stories. And we were both way too old to be freshmen in college at that point and had a lot of life experience and were way more mature than anybody else in the university. But in all actuality, we formed a bond quickly off those common interests. And I think we had an ability really quickly to both challenge and encourage each other. And I came to know you, you know, within a very short time to be somebody that I could trust, that somebody that I could rely on regardless of what was going on in my life.
Yeah, I agree. And when I think about friendships, it's not only like, it's helpful to have some shared past stuff to start from, but we also had some shared dreams. I mean, you and I were in Bible college training to be in the ministry. And that was actually a rare desire at Bible college to actually be training. And like, really, like we really wanted to be in the ministry in the future. And so I think we had both this shared history and these shared ambitions. So for those of you who don't know, Brian and I, we were roommates for 1 year at Bible college. And then I left and Brian stayed and finished it out. But I know. Sorry, I left you. Mm-hmm. But we've remained in contact ever since. How does God use friendships?
Oh, man. I mean, I look back on my life and I look through, obviously I'm only 27, but when I look back on the history of my life, I'm not 27. I look it, but I'm not.
You're my age. I know this for a fact.
God I mean, God uses friendship, like I kind of alluded to earlier, that both to sharpen and to challenge one another, you know, and keep us accountable. And I've had very good friends along the way. Different points in my life, it tends to be different people based off of where I'm at geographically, what I'm doing for a job. Different people have come in and out. People like yourself, I mean, Matt, you've always been someone that, you know, we may not talk for a while, but then when we do, I feel like we have a tendency to challenge each other where each other are at, just kind of find out the heartbeat of the other person. But also I think God uses friends obviously to encourage. And it's not about constantly trying to refine each other, but he also put you in my life to encourage me when I'm struggling with things and vice versa, hopefully. And I know that those are probably the two ways that I have consistently had friendships working in my life. And I know that God puts certain people in your life at certain times for those two reasons, both to sharpen and to encourage. So,
yeah. Hey, Brian, what can we learn about friendships from the Bible?
I think that the immediate friendship that always comes to mind and is preached on a lot is probably what you're going to preach on.
Spoiler alert.
But it is. It's the first thing that comes into my head is always the story of David and Jonathan. And I think this friendship that was unlikely in a lot of ways, but they found I think there must have been some mutual interest there, but also the trust that was so evident between the two of them. I'm sure you're going to, are you preaching on it? You are, aren't you?
Well, I think I will now.
Okay. Yeah. You don't have a choice. You can tell the story, but I mean, the Bible is woven together with stories of friendship. You know, the whole story of the Bible, it's one friendship after another, or relationships at least. And most of those take form in friendship. And I think God is constantly showing us the need for each other. You know, it's why we have the church. It's why we have community. We're set up to be people in community to do those two things that we've mentioned several times now, to sharpen each other and to encourage each other, to hold each other up, to lift each other up when things aren't great. And, you know, we are to be the manifestation of Christ on earth to each other, as well as to those that maybe don't know Jesus yet. It's not just about that. It's about being that to each other. So I think the entire story of the Bible is woven together of friendship.
What kinds of things should we be mindful of in our friendships?
I think probably the most important thing for me when you say being mindful in a friendship, do you mean like what to watch for or how, I think the trust factor is always going to be at the heartbeat of a friendship. Like if you lose the trust, it's very hard to rebuild that. I think if you devalue the friendship by breaking trust, I think it's hard to get that back. I think that's probably the first thing. The second thing is to make sure, you know, that the relationship that you're in is a give and take, that you're giving as much as you're receiving. I think that is the beauty of our relationship. I know that with you and me, is that I can challenge you just like you challenge me. And it's very reciprocal. It's not a one-way thing. Hopefully I'm not, you know, bleeding your energy by demanding a lot of you. And hopefully that works both ways. I think probably when I'm viewing my most life-giving friendships, that's the case. You know, it's not somebody that's constantly speaking into my life, but I'm speaking into theirs as well. And we're both encouraging each other. We're both calling each other out when we need to be called out. And that probably is what I would kind of analyze when I'm looking at a friendship going, hey, is this a positive friendship for me? Is this giving me life or is this actually a drain on my life? Because I've had to do that. I've had to do that with several friendships, just realizing, man, when I come away from them, I'm zapped. I have nothing. That why do I keep meeting up with them? Why do I keep, you know, so it's, and then I'm still friends with them, but maybe I'm not as close a friend with them. If that's the feeling.
Hey, we're going to do something here. I'm going to just throw some words at you. I just need you to quickly tell me, which of these two words, is the right word, you know, of the two. You're just gonna have to pick one right away. Okay. No thinking, which will not be a challenge. Just go ahead and just do that.
Okay.
You didn't hear that. Okay. Sonics or Lakers?
Sonics.
Football or football?
Football.
Mall ball or ski ball?
Mall ball.
That was a good one. Paddle tennis or ping pong?
Paddle tennis.
Wow. Sons or daughters?
Daughters.
You have sons. Okay. Grace or Matt?
Grace.
Man, I knew it.
I thought you meant the virtue, but yeah.
Cool. Hey, Brian, thanks for
the fruit of
this context. Yes. Hey, Brian, thanks for making some time. And I know you have some other things you need to get to today, but thanks for spending some time this morning with us. And I know my church is going to be blessed to hear from you.
Wasn't that fun? You know, what you didn't see in that video is that we actually shot about 45 minutes of Brian and I talking. And about every 5 minutes, we went on a tangent that you would not believe. But I actually think that's what friendships do. Friendships start with a really great agenda and some objectives in mind. But then we start telling stories. And we were just cracking up. And we would say to each other in the recording, I hope this isn't on the video. And I said, well, I'm going to save it in case I need to blackmail him later. So I have it on a file, Brian, watch out. Do not get in trouble or with me because I will air this video footage. One of the beautiful things about relationships is that we can honor God in them. And I want to look at two different stories in the Bible about friendships and what they mean for us. And hopefully you'll find this as encouraging to you as you navigate friendships on your own. So the first one is this, and I have only 2 points today. You are so lucky. Number one is we honor God by being faith-filled friends. I know, is that a tongue twister or what? We honor God by being faith-filled friends. Say that 10 times fast. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 2. We're going to look at some friends. This is a really great story about what faith-filled friends will do for one another. So read it with me here. I'm going to read it to you. It's Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We're going to read the first 5 verses. We're going to jump ahead and read a couple more. So Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And the he is Jesus here. So, and when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by 4 men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. When they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now let's run down to verse 10. And it says in verse 10, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never saw anything like this before." Let's just play this out a little bit here. Jesus has come back into town. The stories of the miracles, the stories of the teaching, the stories of the authority that Jesus had, they have gone ahead of him. Kind of like a ripple has moved ahead of Jesus as he gets into Capernaum. And he is teaching. And these men have a friend. And the friend is paralyzed, which means he can't get around on his own. So they decide, and just play this out with me. They go to the door and they can't get him in. And they have something about them that they think, and they may have heard stories that Jesus had this ability to heal sick people. And this would be really exciting news, especially for a friend. So we have 4 able-bodied friends and 1 paralyzed friend. And these 4 able-bodied friends aren't just friends. These are actually the friends you and I really want the most. These are faith-filled friends. These are friends actually that didn't see the obstacles but saw an opportunity, so much so that they were willing to do something crazy. One commentary actually calls this story the paralytic and the 4 crazy friends. And if this is what a crazy friend is, then bring me more crazy friends. So the crazy friends, the faith-filled friends, they lower their friend down the roof so that he can be close to Jesus. And Jesus does the type of stuff that only God can do. He forgives the man's sins and he heals him and he walks away. Faith-filled friends are really important. Not only should you and I want to be a faith-filled friends, but we should actually look for opportunities to surround ourselves with faith-filled friends. Because faith-filled friends will fight for you in ways that you need it. When you are have run fresh out of faith, have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like your faith-o-meter is on zero? Yeah, I mean, too many times to count. Well, faith-filled friends have the ability to have faith for you when you don't have faith for yourself. And we need friends like this. And God has given us the gift of faith-filled friends that we can go to when everything seems to be falling down around us. And they have faith for us when we just can't see it for ourselves. Because sometimes you and I, we're just too close to our problems. We're too close to our situation. The paralyzed man had been paralyzed for we don't know how long, but he had maybe gotten to a place where he just said, this is my life. This is how it's going to be. I'm going to need people to take care of me the rest of my life. I'm not going to be able to do the things that everyone else is doing. But thank God that there was an investment in a relationship prior to this where these faith-filled friends saw an opportunity, even though there were obstacles and challenges. I mean, they tore a roof down, for crying out loud, to lower their friend down. Those are the kinds of friends that you and I should try to surround ourselves with. But more than that, we should fight to be that kind of friend too. That when we see a friend that is in a disastrous situation, they don't have faith for their situation, that we come in and we bring our faith into that situation. And that is a very beautiful thing. I remember it was now lots of years ago, but when Grace and I were raising funds to become missionaries to move overseas, we had sold everything we had to move to Australia. We had this great dream in our heart and we were naive and full of vision. But there was a time there in the fundraising part where my faith was running out. I just saw all the gaps that needed to get filled and I did not know how it would come about. Well, thank God for faith-filled friends, because we had faith-filled friends who rallied around us. I mean, it felt like they circled around us to protect us. They had faith for us when we didn't have faith for ourselves. And those were the friends that championed us, even when things didn't look good. And there were lots of times where it didn't look good. But they came and they met us where we were, and they helped us along the way. They protected us. They prayed for us. They believed for us. And those were the friends that it was so fun to go that journey with them, because my faith grew out of that experience. And I know their faith grew too. Number two here is this. So number one was, we honor God by being faith-filled friends. I want you to hold on to that. That is both something you ought to desire for yourself. You want to be a faith-filled friend, but you should also be looking for ways to surround yourself with faith-filled friends. Number two is this, and we are almost done. We honor God by being fight-filled friends. I know, aren't you so frustrated with me? Are you frustrated with me for saying so many words that have an F in them? Yeah, anyways. Fight-filled friends. We honor God by being fight-filled friends. So we honor God by being faith-filled friends, and we honor God by being fight-filled friends. Let me explain, because I know you're curious. There's a story here of Jonathan. Jonathan had this idea, Jonathan in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel, Jonathan had this idea that he was going to go over the hillside and he was going to attack the Philistines. And he didn't want to bring his army. He could have, but he didn't want to bring his army. He just wanted to go by himself with his armor bearer. So it just sounds crazy, right? Jonathan has this fairly risky, fairly like not safe idea to go and fight the Philistines alone and not bring the army. And he has this faith to go do this. But sometimes you and I might have faith for a situation, but we need someone to fight with us in it, right? And this is a story about a friend that is willing to fight with you. So we look at 1 Samuel chapter 14, and I'm going to look at verses 6 and 7. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, if you would like to underline this or highlight this in your Bible, you should do it. And his armor bearer said to him, verse 7, "Do all that is in your heart, do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul." Let me read the armor bearer's reply one more time. "Do all that is in your heart, do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul." That's a friend that's willing to fight for you, right? Like, some friends would have heard Jonathan say this and say, that's ridiculous, that's unsafe, you shouldn't do it. But this armor bearer proves to be more than just a friend that is going to just dismiss this crazy idea, but he's willing to fight with him. And the picture we get as Jonathan and the armor bearer go over the hillside, and they do exactly what Jonathan had dreamt of doing. They go over and they fight back to back. The picture of them fighting is back to back, fighting off the enemy as they go. And this is a picture of a great friendship. Don't you want a friend that's not going to say, that's a crazy idea, you're going to get hurt, but call me afterwards. This is a friend that got intimately, deeply, actually put himself in harm's way for the dreams of a friend. And I want to be a friend like that to my friends. And I want to be a friend like, but I also want friends like that. So when I have a dream, and I'm probably not going to dream of going over and killing Philistines, but I may have a dream for my life that is going to require someone to say, go and do all that is your heart, and I'm with you. I'm going to fight with you. Friends that are fight-filled choose to have your back even when your ideas are crazy, even when they don't fully understand, but they have such deep love and respect for you that they just want to be with you even though things are going to get a little hairy later. They choose to fight with you. And friends like this are the best. And they are actually really, really rare. Friends that fight with you. A story about this is not too many years ago, maybe actually about roughly 2 years ago, when my daughter Annie got sick, and some of you remember the story, but Annie was just little, and she was diagnosed with a very complicated disease at the time, and we had lots of questions. Grace and I found ourselves in a routine doctor's visit, which then turned into, I think it was 6 nights in the hospital. We were not ready for that. We thought that the doctor was going to prescribe an antibiotic, and we were going to be back home, back to the way things were. But that disruption in our life caused lots of challenges for Grace and I. And thank God Annie is great now at this point. But I do remember something that happened in those days in the hospital. And if you have ever been in a situation like that where you have had a loved one who is sick and the doctor's office seems to give you more questions than answers, you know how small you feel and you know how alone you feel. And not only that, but you know how scared you are. And I remember something that Matt McMillan did for me. I didn't really actually want to talk to anybody. I hardly wanted to talk to anybody at all about any of this stuff because I just didn't know what to say. I was at a loss of how to navigate life in the middle of so many unknowns. Well, Matt called me, and I don't remember if I talked to him on the phone or if it was a voicemail, but this is what he said. He said, I know what hospital you're at, and I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to park out front. And I understand if you don't want to see me or don't want to talk to me, but I'm going to come. I'm going to park out front. I'm going to sit there, and I'm just going to be praying for you guys. I can't tell you how much of a difference that made for me, because he could have texted me, thoughts and prayers, hashtag blessed. Like, he could have just texted, thinking about you. He could have called, he could have sent flowers, he could have done all those things, but this is a friend that fought with me. He came to where I was, and he was willing to lay aside his plans to get into the middle of the mess with me. And that was a marker in my friendship with Matt, where I think we will fight together through just about anything because of something like that. Friendships like that, gosh, they just don't happen overnight. And they are such a gift from God, and they are gifts that need protecting. So friends that are fight-filled friends, those are good friends. Friends that will come and fight with you for the dreams and the aspirations and the purpose that God has for your life. And as I conclude, I want to say this. Brian said something in our video, and I just want to touch on it briefly. Brian said, God will use friendships to inspire you and correct you. Isn't that the truth? God will use friendships to inspire you and correct you. Every friend that I have does that. And there is a sharpening that happens in friendships where both the great things that God has planted in your life, they come to the surface when that friend's around. But also, a great friend also has the ability to acknowledge and help you correct some patterns in your life that may be destructive. And because you let someone, and because there's that trust, you are open to receiving both the encouragement and the correction. And that is one of the ways that God uses friendship. So as we close, I just have a couple things for you to think about. What would it look like for you to be a faith faith-filled friend. I want you to think about it. What would it look like for you to be a faith-filled friend? Well, I think actually the first thing is that you would start cultivating a life of faith on your own. It would be hard to bring faith to a situation that you don't actually have. So if you want to be a faith-filled friend, I think we all do, I think the first step is to start cultivating a life of faith on your own. Start cultivating a dependency and a love for Jesus, a love for the things of God, a love for his word, so that you have faith to bring to your friends in their time of need. And then number two, the last thing is this, what would it look like for you to be a fight-filled friend? What would it look like for you to be a fight-filled friend? It might be something as significant as doing something like what Matt did. He didn't just let me stay alone in my sorrow and pain. He met me there. And there may be a phone call, maybe a text. And there may be someone who comes into your path that you get to fight for. And how beautiful of an opportunity that you could honor God by fighting with someone so that they can see, get through the thing that they're in the middle of. So friendships are God's idea. God made us with a need for relationships, and he's given us everything that we need so that we can be good friends. So thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would fill us afresh with more of your goodness and more of your grace. And God, I ask that you would stir up faith inside of us so that we have something to contribute to our friends. God, I pray that we would be the types of friends that inspire and correct. God, give us every opportunity. Help us to discern your voice in the middle of those situations so that we can sharpen one another as you would want us to do it. Because God, we believe that as your word says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So God, we pray that we would be close to each other in relationships so that we can sharpen one another. God, I ask you to bless all of our relationships and our friendships. Help us find ways to honor you in them. Amen. 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 Thanks for being with me today, and I hope this blesses you. Be the church. We'll see you soon.